I want to read just a verse or two. Anytime we talk about our heritage and lineage and things, this verse always just sort of really sticks out to me, and it's found in Deuteronomy 32. We're just going to try to skim through some things today, this morning, but I do want to try to get this in just a little bit. Deuteronomy, this is where Moses was doing the speaking, and in chapter 32, verse 1, we'll go ahead and start at verse 1. But it says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish this name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and a crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O ye foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father, and hath bought thee? And hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, and thy elders, and they shall tell thee. When the Most High divideth to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is the people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. For he found him in a desert land, and he wasted a hallowed wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye." And I just want to get those first 10 verses in there, but in verse 7, it says, "Remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations." And as we get into this, and God here was speaking about Jacob, and we know Jacob was Israel, and if we want to look in a spiritual sense, we are of the seed of Abraham. In the spiritual sense, we are the spiritual Israel, those that have truly been circumcised in their heart. And he talks about how that we are to consider many generations. And I think that the things that happen in the Bible and happened to our forefathers, Paul tells us in one place that these things happened to them as an example, that we today would not lust after evil things that they had lusted. They happened to them that we can learn, in other words, from their mistakes. I've always said that my children don't need to walk in my footsteps. They need to walk in the footsteps that the Lord has trodden out before them. If they walk in my footsteps, they're going to make some mistakes. I don't want my children to have to suffer from their mistakes that I have made. So we look at our country, the condition that we're in. We look at the division in our churches that we're in. And I just wonder how much worse they were off then than what we are today. When you really look, subconsciously, I think we don't even understand how worldly that we really are and how far that we really got away from the Lord. But he says that we're to consider many generations. And I've always said it this way. If you want to go back to the church that Jesus set up and established in his personal ministry as point A, and then I want us to look at Hilltop today, and we're point B. And then I want us to think of the next generation. We're not just to consider the generations in the past, but we're to be considerate of the generation that is to come, if God would permit time, for the sake of our children. So if the church that Jesus set up was point A, and then today at Hilltop, we're point B. If we're off the mark just a little bit, because see, we're to walk in the old path, the straight and the narrow way. If we're off mark just a little bit today, how far off will our children be tomorrow? you say. Where will point C be for them? That's why it's so important that churches are humanistic. None of us is perfect. We mess up. But the thing is, when we're wrong about something, for the sake of our children, we need to admit that we can be wrong about things. And in doing that, we need to get right back where the Lord wants us to be, walking that straight and narrow way. Our children deserve the truth. I've said it so many times. We brought them into this world. We chose to bring them into this world. And we owe it to them nothing but the pure truth of the gospel. So that's why it is that we're to not only consider the generations in the past, but we're to be considerate in that for the generation that is to come, if God would permit time to stand. Our children depend upon decisions that we make today, spiritual decisions. So saying all that, I just wanted to sort of get in that. He said, consider the years of many generations and ask thy father, and he will show thee, and thy elders, and they will tell thee. So as Hilltop is just a young church, and like I said, today is our homecoming. So what we're going to just look at a little bit is just a little bit of our heritage, some of the things of Hilltop, because I do believe this. I believe in a Baptist succession. I believe that Jesus set the church up. I believe just like in the book of Daniel, when he said that whenever that he would come, talking about Jesus, when he would come his first time, said that he would set up a kingdom that would destroy all these other kingdoms. And it said his kingdom would stand forever. And then when he did come and he set the old church up, he set up on this rock. He's speaking about himself. He wasn't speaking about Peter. He said up on this rock, speaking about himself. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. I do believe in a church succession. I do believe that a church in her doctrine should be able to trace all the way back to the church that Jesus Christ himself set up. Through a lot of things in history, I do think that on paper we can trace a whole lot of it. But if we're going to be honest about it, our history on paper cannot be completely traced back to the Lord. Because of persecution, because a lot of history was burnt, Indian attacks, Revolutionary War, Civil War, churches were disbanded, and the truth is a lot of history was lost. A lot of history, even the persecutors, they took the history of the churches and the Bibles and tried to burn and do away with all of it. But I do believe that there's at least two fundamental doctrines that we can trace back to the Lord all the way. And the main one is an experimental knowledge of being born again. That is a doctrine that Jesus Christ taught. And that's a doctrine that I believe that we can honestly trace all the way back. So, but anyway, saying all that, we're going to just look at a little bit about Hilltop. And where I feel awkward at doing this is, it's just like Brother Jeff says a lot of time. Church is not about me. Church is not about Hilltop. It's all about Jesus. Everything has got to be about Jesus. If the church has lost that view, some people love church more than they love the Lord. I'm not being ugly, but some people love the church more than they love the Lord. We're just supposed to love the church. But what we always need to know, Jesus has got to be first. So where I'm saying this, I feel a little awkward in talking about what Hilltop has done. It's all what Hilltop has done for Hilltop, what the Lord has done for Hilltop. It's not what Hilltop's done. But because it is our time that we've set aside to sort of look, reflect back on our organization. I want to just touch a few things, and I'll try to just read through pretty rapidly. I hope next week maybe just finish up on some things that from our lineage from over in the Carolinas and Shubal Stearns and some of that next week. But right now, I just want to touch on a few things about Hilltop. Maybe some young folks here don't know a lot of about the birth of Hilltop. But so Hilltop organized in October 30th, 1983. Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church, after being organized after several years of labor, started by a brother Dillard Gold in the early 70s and a brother Alvin Kirby, who assisted him for a short period of time. The work actually began in an old house, which is no longer standing, that stood between where the church is located now and 52 Bypass. Brother Charles Jones soon picked up with the mission work and continued until it was organized in 1983. For those of you that maybe don't know where the church actually began, from right here, when we're going back up the old 52, right before we get to the bypass, the last house, the brick house on the right, before it was there, there used to be an old house up there, a real old house. It's about to fall down. That's where the mission work for Hilltop actually began. And it began with a preacher by the name of Dillard Gold, who's then gone on to meet to his many rewards. But he's the one that started the work. And I think it's important to know those things. You know, I mean, I appreciate the work of our forefathers who give us what we have today. So Brother Dillard Gold was one of the first ones that started that. Prior to the organization, before the church was even organized into a church, there was a brother, Carly Patterson, who donated the land, which is this property right here. He donated half of it at one time, and then just a year or two later, he donated another half. So Brother Carly Patterson, right out of his own heart, just gave us this land. So Brother Carly Patterson donated the land for the church building. And out of faith, the mission actually built the church building even before it was organized. They built the building. Now, to me, that is a step of faith if you really think about it. But before it was even organized into church, while it was a mission effort, they decided from a feeling from the Lord to go ahead and to build the church. The Lord blessed the work with at least six people telling of getting saved during that mission work. Sister Cheryl Bartley, which is Gail's daughter, was the first to get saved in the new building before it was even completed. So whenever they got the building just about completed, one of the first services they had in, I think they said they hadn't already carpeted and done a few things, but Cheryl, Connie's sister and Gail's daughter, she was the first one to get saved in the new building. Then a young man that had been coming with his wife to the mission in the old house with part of the roof already caving in, and the good Lord knowing that the land of a foundation for a church would certainly require some true pillars. 1975 revival meeting at the old house up here. The Lord hewed out a stone for one of the true pillars of this body. Today, our eldest deacon, Brother Bill Holder, was that young man underneath that old roof that was ready to collapse, and he had made his peace with God, and certainly he has proven to as being a true member and a true pillar for some 40 years now. You know, sometimes you don't think about things, but see, God orchestrates things. He foreknew that he wanted a church planted right here. He put it on a man's heart to give to come up here and start preaching. He put it on another man's heart to give the land. He took little Bill Holder, and he saved him up there, and he made him a pillar. Bill Holder has been a pillar member. He's not here today. I don't know where he's at. There's a reason he's not here, though. We all know that. But God orchestrates these things, he's saying. So all that just, you know, I think a lot about that. But anyway, Brother Bill got saved up there underneath that old house. And then, of course, later on, several years on down the road, the church seemed fit to ordain him as a deacon. And he's been a true deacon to this church. After several years of labor, on October 30th, 1983, under the authority of Maple Grove number 3, Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church was organized into an independent missionary Baptist assisted by 11 sister churches that were seated in the presbytery, including the churches New Zion over here at Williams's, Old Macedonia, Antioch, Long Fork, Union Hill, Greenfield, Liberty Hill, Rock Bridge, Red Hill, and Union Camp. Certainly, Hilltop is indebted to these brethren and our sister churches for their assistance in this work. So when you see some members of these churches, tell them you appreciate them. They sent their ordained brethren in to help to assist in organizing this church. Hilltop had 26 of what we call charter members. When it was instituted into a church, there was 26 members that went into the body, and they included Peggy Jones, which is Charles Jones's wife, deceased already, of course, Jennifer Jones, Patricia White, Cindy Heyer Patterson, Juanita Cladwell, Teresa Holder, Frida Jenkins, Connie Bartley, Gail White, which is Gail Williams, Joan White, Beatrice White, Mary Lee Dyer, Billy Ruth Carver, Wynn Jenkins, Bill Holder, Brother Jerry Swindle, Ray Johnson, Troy White, Tommy White, Keith Centers, Roy Sewell, Andy Frazier, and Troy Centers, Norman Patterson, and Elder Charles Jones and Elder Leon Jones. So these were the 26 charter members where this church had got started. Some of her mission labors. Since the birth of Hilltop, she has actually mothered two daughter churches, if you use that terminology. The Lord had blessed her with labors by extending an arm of authority to organize the Cedars of Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church located in Lakeland, Florida. And that was done in May of 1999. And that was through Brother Robert McCabe, that was a member here at the time. Brother Robert had entered into the existing labors of others. Brother Rick Jones is the one that actually started the work down there. And then Brother Monty Shoulders, he went and assisted in that work for a period of time, as well as some others. And then Brother Robert McCabe went until they felt like the Lord wanted them to organize into a church. And so Hilltop extended the authority down there to organize that daughter church. And we need to pray for that church down there too. It's in a hard area, and they're just sort of holding on. So certainly they need our prayers. The second daughter church, if you would, in 2004, Hilltop also had mothered the Underwood Missionary Baptist Church at the labors of Brother Troy White. And Underwood, most of us here know, some may not, but it's located across from the Underwood Cemetery, and it's about 7 miles north on what we call the Acresville Road. Turn up our junior food, that's the Acresville Road, and go north, and it's about 7 miles. Underwood Cemetery is on the left, Underwood Church is on the right, and that church is still doing well. As far as I know, Brother Troy, he's back to pastoring it again. I think Brother Tom was the last pastor there, but Brother Troy's pastoring it again. So that's two of the daughter churches that this church has sent out extended arm to. Some of the other mission labor, Brother Chris Solomon, who went to Fort Lauderdale he was a member here. And Brother Chris was in Fort Lauderdale for about a year down there doing a mission work. I was at Huntsville for about a year and a half, and then up in Temple Hill, Illinois for a little over a year. Michael Reed, that was a member here. Brother Michael, he was in Florida I don't have the dates on some of these, but I know Michael was between Florida, and then he went to Alaska, up close to where we got the little church up there, North Star. He was up in there, and between the two, he was gone for about 3 years. So he was under the authority of Hilltop. Then Brother Monty Shoulders also went to Alaska, as we all know, and done a work up there while he was a member here. So that's just some of the mission efforts, if you would say, you know, from this church. And I guess I just think things like it is needful to know. You know, we don't need to lose sight of where we come from so we can know where we're headed. Very important. Now, if somebody's got a question or something, just throw up your hand or whatever. Other than that, I'm just going to ramble on. Told you I'm just filling in here. the pastors of the church from the time it was organized, like I said, it was organized in 83, and Brother Charles Jones, who done the majority of the mission work, actually. He come in there and he done a lot of the mission work, done a real good work. He come in here and taught us. He taught us one of the basic things that I've said a lot of times, I credit him for, is he taught us that if love does not win people over, they're goners. That was a basic theme that he believed in teaching his church. Show your love. If that don't win people, they're goners. Because what? God is love, isn't he? God is. If people see a division among us, if people see a hatred among us, they don't want that. I tell you what, I've said it so many times, a macho man walk in here 6'2", 240 pounds, all hiked up, and tattoos all over him, don't care how big he is. He may be macho, but you know what? If he walks in here and there's an atmosphere of love, if he sees one old brother go over and hug another brother with a tear running down his eye, you know what? It's going to affect him. It will. It'll affect him. If it don't, if love don't win them, they're goners. So that's what Brother Charles taught us. And I pray the church will hang on to that. I pray we'll hold on to that love. And we have it here, a true love for each other. And we need to hold on to that. But Brother Charles was pastor from 83 to 87. Then his dad, I wish to goodness some of you all could have met him, Brother Leon Jones. Leon did? I didn't know that.
I was a member out there. That's number three, right?
Yeah, maybe going number three. Yeah.
Well, that's 12.
Ah, I didn't know that.
And my mom and my sister.
He was such a humble.
He was.
I'll never forget. I can't remember what happened to me yesterday, but I'll never forget when Heather was right down here and she was praying, trying to get saved. Brother Leon was right up here and he had health issues, and he had an oxygen tank on him, and he was standing up here with a tear ripping off his eye, off his cheek. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. Brother Leon standing right there just shaking, but he was still standing up there on that oxygen, and a tear dripped off his cheek just about the time Heather got saved. Now, boy, they something I can just take to the bank. But his humility, I hadn't been in church very long, but it overwhelmed me. It meant something to me, but he was so humble. But I'll never forget Brother Leon. And he, too, has gone on to meet his many rewards. But we have a rich heritage. Do you know what? We have a rich heritage. After that, we had a minister at Hilltop, and from 89 to 90, a little bit less than a year, Hilltop reluctantly had to call in this certain minister, and I'm not even going to call his name, had to call in his credentials of this minister, and for the sake of harmony, we actually rebaptized those that he had immersed. And like I said, there was we all fall in a ditch. Every one of us has made mistakes, so I'm not being critical. I'm certainly not going to call this minister's name. He was a good man, but just made some mistakes, and the church wasn't comfortable at all with some things. So the church seemed fit for the sake of some thought some of them ought to be rebaptized. Some didn't. For the sake of harmony, we rebaptized those that he baptized. This church ain't perfect. We've made mistakes. But when we make them, we got to try to fix them the best that we can. The best that we can. So that was back in 89 and 90. And then from 90, then we went without a pastor for a little while. And then in 91 to 94, Brother Charles Jones was pastor again. And then from 95 to 98, Brother Tom Carter became our pastor. And he was here for about 3 years. Each one of these preachers in their own time frame, it's just like no other preacher could have fit at the time. You know what I mean? You know, right now we cannot begin to imagine losing Brother Jeff. Just can't imagine. We know what a good work he's done here. But Brother Jeff wouldn't have worked back then. I mean, he could have been our pastor back then, but he could not have done what Brother Charles done. Brother Charles couldn't do today what Brother Jeff is doing. God puts it together. He's got a recipe to bring churches into this revival like I was talking about, you see. And it's important that we get the ones that the Lord wants. We've all got favorite preachers that we like to hear, but that don't mean that's the one that needs to be called for revival. It may be some little young buck that just on his call to preach. He may throw a spark in this church just to set us on fire. So, but God, he puts these together, and then we had to put up with that James Gregory. Yeah, about 3 years there, from 99 to 2002, Brother James pastored, and I've got personal love for all of these, brethren, but James is the one that, when he said that God was leading him to go to Indiana, Carrie, before she ever got saved, she called James and she made him promise, when I get saved, I want you to come back and baptize me. And Brother James promised her, when you get saved, wherever I'm at, I'll come. And got him a little bit of trouble, some things, but you know what? When Carrie got saved, who was one of the first ones she called? James Gregory. Called James Gregory. And you know what he done? He come and he baptized her under Hilltop's authority. A lot of good times in the past. And people, we can have good times in the future if God will give us the future. But so James Gregory, he was our pastor from 99 to 2002. Then after that, Brother Monty, the church called Brother Monty Shoulders to pastor from 2003 to 2005. He pastored here for about 2 years. Then he ended up going up into Alaska. And then from 2006 till the present time, we're stuck with Jeff Rowe. He's got his radio on. I know he's got to hear me sitting out here. We got these transmitter things. I know he's sitting out there hearing me. But yeah, we're stuck with him for now. And I'm not going to get into the little joke I gave him about the plunger one time. That the church is the plunger.
Christmas presents.
Yeah, that was a good Christmas present for him. A little inside joke there, and he. I noticed that. You do when somebody agrees with you and they're sitting out in their car, they honk their horn. So Brother Jeff didn't honk. There you go. I bet that was Sheila that honked the horn. That was Sheila, that wasn't Jill. I know better than that. Yeah, we're still stuck with you, Jeff Rowe. Brother Leon, he was from 1987 to 89. And then he give it up on health issues. He had to give it up. It wasn't in his heart to give it up, I'll tell you that. Okay, and we'd mentioned the charter members that were here at the beginning, and today we just have four of those charter members that are still left, and that's Bill, wife Teresa, Gail Williams, and Sister Billy Ruth. They're the four charter members that we've got left. And church, listen, a charter member is in our vocabulary, we call them charter members, the ones that are come together and a church is planted. They're the charter members. Charter members come and go. Some of the charter members didn't stick. Pillars is what'll stick. These four, for over 40 years, have stuck. And I tell you, there's been some good times in the past, and I've been here for over 30 years. We've had some difficult times as well. We've had some misunderstandings. We've had some differences about youth revivals and things like this that brought a lot of tension into the church. And it was holding on to love is how we prevailed through it. But there were some that actually left. But we've got four charter members that are not just charter members. They're pillar members. They're pillars. Running out of time. I'm not going to go through the present preachers because I've not got it updated. I know one or two has moved their membership since I've updated, and one or two has joined. So I'm scared to death I'll leave off one, and so I don't want to do that. But we've got several preachers of this church the Lord has blessed us with as far as in its membership. And our present deacons, I will get them, Deacon Bill Holder, his son Chad, and Laren Walren is our three deacons. And I wrote this down. I think it's good that, and I know we won't ever forget it, Noah, but I want to read this. Brother Danny was one of our deacons here. And I wrote this down. I think this always needs to be in our memorial. But a note of recognition, Brother Danny Nash, deceased March the 22nd. He was March 22nd, 1957 through March the 3rd, 2013. Note of recognition, Brother Danny Nash, the late husband of Sister Sheila, was 55 years old when he went to meet his many rewards. Brother Danny certainly lived up to the scripture in John 15:3 concerning laying down your life for a friend. As one night, Brother Danny and Sister Sheila were coming home when they spotted their neighbor's house engulfed in flames. Brother Danny, without any hesitation, ran into the burning house trying to save his neighbor, only to lose his own life. Brother Danny was an inspiration to all that knew him, a man that loved his family, loved people, loved the church, and certainly loved the Lord. Brother Danny will always, always be missed, but his example lives on. Ain't it good to know you have people like that in your membership? I mean, he laid down his life. I mean, he lived up to the example. Like I said, this church has a rich history. It really does. Thank y'all. Thank Brother Danny. I just can't imagine a house engulfed in flames. I would like to think I would do what Brother Danny did, but I really don't know that I would. I'm sorry. But he did. He did. We may think we would or we wouldn't. He was put to the test, and he did. So he left behind a good example. We'll touch just a little bit maybe on our lineage right here with our mother churches. As Sister Donna talked about, Maple Grove number 3. Maple Grove number 3 is located between Westmoreland and Portland on 52 on the right. A little church there sits on the right, just real close to the road on 52. That is our mother church. Maple Grove, number 3 Missionary Baptist Church, located in Summer County on 52 between Westmoreland and Portland, was the mother to Hilltop, extending an arm of authority to organize into an independent body. Maple Grove, that is our mother church. Maple Grove, number 3. That's the name of it, Maple Grove, number 3. We have Maple Grove, number 2 up here at Lafayette. We have a Maple Grove, number 1 in Kentucky, but this was Maple Grove, number 3. And Maple Grove number 3 church was the mother to this church. It extended the arm that we could be an independent body. And it was Maple Grove number 3 was actually organized by Sulphur Fork Missionary Baptist Church that's located in the Oak Grove community of Sumner County off of 52 between Westmoreland and Portland on 174. I think most everybody's familiar with going toward Portland, the Oak Grove community, and 174 east back toward Gallatin. That's where Sulphur Fork is located. Sulphur Fork was an old church and organized in 1888. Then Sulphur Fork was organized, and we're talking about Baptist succession, was organized out of Rock Bridge Baptist Church, located 10 miles northeast of Gallatin. And Rock Bridge was actually organized in 1800 1883. So this is our lineage of where we come from. Rock Bridge was organized out of Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church that is located between Westmoreland and Portland, just off of Highway 52, on the A.B. Wade Road in Sumner County. Pleasant Hill was actually organized as a church independent body in 1876. It was organized out of what we today know as Old Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church. That's over here on the Pleasant Grove Road in Westmoreland. Today, she's called Old Macedonia, but it was first located actually in Allen County near the Tennessee line toward Westmoreland where Garrett's, down there at Garrett's Creek, and it was actually, to begin with, it was named Garrett's Creek United Baptist Church. Then in September, and that was in September the 20th, 1873, when it was organized under the authority of Ruffield Baptist Church. Then in 1903, they moved locations to the present location there in Westmoreland on the Pleasant Grove Road. So it was actually organized as Garrett's Creek United Baptist Church, and then 1903 they moved up there to Pleasant Grove, where they're at now. And I'm not going to be able to get through this. I wanted to get back as far as South Carolina, but for the sake of time, we ain't going to be able to, I don't think, get through it. So I'm going to take one more Sunday, and try to finish this up. So anyway, we've got back to 1873 with old Macedonia, and next Sunday we'll pick up with that. And I know all of this is just churches names and dates and things, but to me it's a necessity. It's something that ought to be interesting somewhat to us. And I think next week, maybe if we get into, I hope next week to get into some of this about the very first church that's established in Tennessee. It's over in East Tennessee, and we've got pictures and things of that, and how that we come out of the churches of South Carolina, North Carolina, and on up through Virginia. So maybe we, but don't forget, today is our homecoming. Today is a day that we look back and appreciate all of our heritage. We look back and we appreciate our forefathers, those that have pastored the church and walked before us, and many of them has gone on to meet their rewards, but certainly we have a heritage that is a rich heritage, and we certainly need to be appreciated of it. So maybe we conclude this thing next week. Anything on anyone's heart?